الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم. أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضاه. كنا ذكرنا في الدرس الماضي أن الغضب والرضا صفتان من صفات الله عز وجل. In the past class, we mentioned that al-ghadab and al-rida are two among the attributes of Allah تبارك وتعالى. وأنهما صفتان أزليتان أبديتان. They are two eternal and everlasting attributes. لا تشبهان صفات الخلق. They do not resemble the attributes of the creation. بقي أن نذكر شيئا. Let me mention one more thing about this subject. في اللغة العربية الغضب يأتي أيضا بمعنى أثر الصفة، والرضا يأتي أيضا بمعنى أثر الصفة. أثر بمعنى أثر صفة الغضب، بمعنى أثر صفة الرضا، يعني بمعنى المخلوق الذي هو أثر الصفة. أثر الصفة مخلوق. أحيانا العقاب يطلق عليه غضب الله، فليتنبه لذلك. In the Arabic language, the term الغضب can refer also to the trace of the attribute of Allah. The trace of the attribute is a creation. So the punishment could be called in Arabic, in the Arabic language, al-ghadab too. So be aware of that. وهذا معنى ما جاء في الحديث إن ربنا غضب اليوم غضبا لا يغضب بعده مثله، عندما ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أمر الآخرة أن بعض الأنبياء يقولون إن الله غضب اليوم غضبا لم يغضب قبله مثله ولا يغضب بعده مثله. معناه اليوم الله تبارك وتعالى عاقب بعقوبة، يعني اليوم عقوبة الله تبارك وتعالى وصلت إلى أقصاها. لا يخلق الله بعد اليوم عقوبة أشد من العقوبة التي خلقها اليوم. ما خلقه اليوم من العقوبة هو الأشد، بحيث أن الله تعالى لا يخلق في المستقبل عقوبة هي أشد من العقوبة التي خلقها. هذا معناه. هنا الغضب جاء بأي معنى؟ بمعنى أثر الصفة، أثر صفة الغضب، المخلوق، بمعنى المخلوق. البخاري and others narrated from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that he said that some of the prophets on the day of judgment will say إن الله غضب اليوم غضبا لم يغضب قبله مثله ولا بعده مثله. In this hadith, the term غضب and غضب are used. In this hadith, the term غضب refers to the punishment that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created. So this hadith does not mean if someone did not learn the matters of the religion, does not know the hadith of the Prophet well, he might misinterpret this hadith. He might misinterpret this hadith to mean today Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala got angry to a point that he did not, his anger did not reach it in the past and will not reach it in the future. Of course, this is not the meaning of the hadith. The hadith means today Allah created types of punishment, and after that, Allah will not create any type of punishment that would be more severe than this punishment. In the past, before that, Allah did not create types of punishment that exceed what He created in this day, and in afterwards, Allah will not create any type of punishment that exceeds what He created today. So the hadith means, today Allah created the most severe punishment. So as you can... on the day of judgment, that is. So as you see, the term غضب refers here to the trace of the attribute of Allah. وهكذا عندما يقال أعوذ بالله من غضب الله. هنا لا يراد بالغضب صفة الله. ليس الواحد منا يستعيذ من صفة الله إنما المراد من الأثر يعني أعوذ بالله من عقابه أيضا أثر الصفة يطلق عليه الغضب أيضا. Likewise when one says in Arabic أعوذ بالله من غضب الله, which means I seek refuge with Allah from the غضب of Allah. Here, غضب does not refer to the attribute of Allah, because we do not seek refuge with Allah from His attributes. Rather, غضب here means the trace of the attribute, the punishment, that is. That is, I seek refuge with Allah from receiving a punishment. This is what it means. So sometimes, just keep it in mind that sometimes the term al-ghadab refers to the trace of the attribute of Allah. فقط يعني احفظوا هذا. أحيانا الغضب يكون بمعنى أثر الصفة بمعنى المخلوق لا بمعنى الصفة. ومثل هذا ورد في الحديث. مثل هذا صحيح. الأشاعرة, هذا قول الأشاعرة. عند الأشاعرة قال رحمه الله: ونحب أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا نفرط في حب أحد منهم ولا نتبرأ من أحد منهم ونبغض من يبغضهم وبغير الخير يذكرهم ولا نذكرهم إلا بخير وحبهم دين وإيمان وإحسان وبغضهم كفر ونفاق وطغيان. The author said, we love the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, we do not exceed the due bounds in loving any one of them. And we do not... And we do not disavow ourselves from any of them. We hate whoever hates them and whoever mentions them with other than good things. We do not speak but well of them. Loving them is in accordance with the religion, faith, and sincere obedience. Hating them is blasphemy, hypocrisy, and exceeding the bounds. صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هم الذين آمنوا به ونصروه. The companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام believed in him and supported him صلى الله عليه وسلم. ومرادنا بالصحابي من اجتمع برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على الإيمان بطريق العادة ومات على الإيمان. When we say a companion of the Prophet, we mean someone who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was a believer in the usual way. He met him in the usual way and he died as a believer. فمن لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على الكفر ثم آمن بعد ذلك ولم يلقى الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام بعد إيمانه ومات على الإيمان لا نسميه صحابيا، لأنه عندما لقي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن مؤمنا. So the one who met with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام while he was a non-believer. Later, he embraced Islam, but he did not meet the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam after embracing Islam. And he died as a Muslim without meeting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam after embracing Islam. Such person is not considered a companion. ومن لقي النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وهو مسلم ثم مات على الكفر فليس صحابيا. The one who met the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام while he was a believer, later he apostatized and died as a blasphemer, is not considered among the companions also. So he is not one of the companions. وَمَنْ لَقِيَ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى غَيْرِ طَرِيقِ الْعَادَةِ لَا يَكُونُ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ أَيْضًا. The one who met the Prophet عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ in an extraordinary way is not considered also among the companions. مثلا الأنبياء الذين صلوا خلفه ليلة الإسراء لا نقول عنهم هم من أمته من صحابته. For example, the prophets who prayed behind Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام on the night of al-Isra, we do not consider them among the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. لأن لقاءهم بالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام كان من طريق خرق العادة لا من طريق العادة. Because their meeting with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was in an extraordinary way, not in the usual way. ولا فرق في أصل الصحبة لحصول أصل الصحبة بين أن يطول لقاؤه للنبي أو يقصر صلى الله عليه وسلم. الذي لازم النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أعواما طويلة هذا صحابي، والذي لقيه لحظات هذا صحابي، كلاهما صحابي. Now, if one met the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام while he is a believer in a usual way and he died as a Muslim, is a companion, he is considered among the companions, whether he stayed with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام for a few moments or for a long time. In both cases, he is considered among the companions. لكن لا شك السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار لهم رتبة ومزية لا يصل إليها بقية الصحابة. But with no doubt, the first batches among the companions, among the immigrants and al-ansar, al-muhajirin and al-ansar, have these people, they have a special high rank that no one among the other companions reached or would reach. فنحن أعني أهل السنة نحب أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حيث الإجمال. So we أهل السنة love the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in general. ولا نفرط في حب أحد منهم. But we do not exceed the proper boundaries in loving or glorifying anyone among them. من حيث إنهم صحبوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحبهم ونعرف لهم هذه المزية. From the point of view that they were with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, they were the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, we love them and we acknowledge this virtue of them. لكن لا نتعدى الحد المشروع في ذلك. But we do not exceed the proper boundaries in this issue. فلا ننسب إلى أحد منهم شيئا يمتنع شرعا نسبته إليه. So we do not attribute to any one of them anything that the religion prohibits us from attributing it to them or to him or her. لا نفعل كما فعل الذين عظموا عليا رضي الله عنه إلى حد أنهم عبدوه. We do not do as some people did with Ali, may Allah raise his rank. They glorified him to a point that they worshipped him. في خلافته قيل له عن أناس يعبدونه فاستدعاهم. When he was a caliph, he was told that some people worshipped him. So he called them. فقالوا أنت ربنا. They addressed him by saying, you are our Lord, our God. علي قال ويلكم إنما أنا عبد من عبيد الله إن أطعته أثابني وإن عصيته خشيت عقابه. ارجعوا عن هذا. ما كانوا يرجعون. Ali told them, ويلكم. This is a statement to describe how bad they are in Arabic. They deserve a severe punishment. ويلكم. He said, I'm only a slave of Allah. If I obey Allah, He will reward me. If I commit a sin, I would be fearful from the punishment of Allah. So leave out this creed. They did not accept. أمهلهم ثلاثة أيام. He gave them 3 days. كل يوم يعيد عليهم يأمرهم بترك ما هم عليه. Every day he ordered them to leave out their ill belief. ما رضوا. They did not accept. فقال لأقتلنكم أشنع قتلة. He told them, I will kill you in a very ugly way. فأمر بالنار فأوقدت حفرت حفرة وأوقدت فيها النار. They made a big hole and it was lit with fire. ثم رماهم فيها وهم أحياء. Then he ordered them to be thrown in this whole while they were alive. وما رجعوا. And they did not leave the ill creed. هذا تجاوز الحد. This is exceeding the proper religious boundaries in glorifying Ali رضي الله عنه. كذلك لا نقول كما قال بعض الناس إن عليا هو الذي أوصى إليه النبي بالخلافة وأبو بكر أخذ الخلافة ظلما ثم عمر أخذها ظلما ثم عثمان أخذها ظلما. أيضا هذا نسبة شيء إلى علي ليس له. رفع له فوق مرتبته. Also, we do not say, as some people said, that Ali is the legitimate succeeder of the Prophet عليه successor. Successor of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. But Abu Bakr took that position unrightfully. Umar also took it unrightfully. Uthman again took it unrightfully. By this we would be attributing to Ali, anyone who says that would be attributing to Ali a status that Ali did not have. وبالحقيقة هذا ذم لعلي. And truthfully, this is not praising Ali. This is dispraising him. لأن الذي يقول النبي أوصى له بالخلافة ثم علي ما سعى لها ترك أبا بكر يأخذها وعمر يأخذها وعثمان يأخذها يكون يقول بأن عليا فرط في حفظ وصية رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا ذم لسيدنا علي. Really saying this statement is dispraising Ali, because anyone who says that the Prophet said that the legitimate one who succeeds me is Ali, and despite that, Ali did not try to become a caliph, and he let Abu Bakr become a caliph. Then later he let Umar, and then later he let Uthman do that, would be saying that Ali was negligent about the orders of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So really he would be dispraising Ali رضي الله عنه. ولا يصح أن يقال ترك ذلك حتى لا يصير اقتتال بين المسلمين. And it is not valid to say that he left out seeking that position so Muslims would not fight among themselves. لأنه لما عرف أنه على حق أنه هو الخليفة حقا قاتل معاوية. ما قال لا أقاتل معاوية حتى لا يصير قتال بين المسلمين. Because when he knew that he was the caliph really religiously, he fought معاوية. He did not say I will not fight معاوية so Muslims wouldn't fight among themselves. He fought him. والذين يقولون هذا يزعمون أن من أصول الدين اعتقاد أن عليا كان هو الخليفة. يقولون هذا أصل من أصول الدين. يعني على زعمهم علي ضيع أصلا من أصول الدين حتى لا يحصل اقتتال. هذا مدح لعلي أو ذم؟ ذم. Those people who claim this, who say this statement, claim that it is among the basics of the religion. It's something similar to say Muhammadun Rasulullah, to believe that Ali was the caliph after the Prophet. They say this is one of the basics of the religion. So according to them, Ali neglected the basic of the religion, the base of the religion, so Muslims, so there wouldn't be any fight. It doesn't make sense. Ali wouldn't do that. This is not praising Ali. He would not let the religion being perverted to avoid a fight. Isn't it the case? Yeah. زد على ذلك أن قبيلة أبي بكر عشيرة أبي بكر وعشيرة عمر أضعف عشائر قريش. On top of that, the family of Abu Bakr, the clan of Abu Bakr and the clan of Umar are among the most weak clans of the tribe of Quraysh. وعشيرة علي بن هاشم من أقوى عشائر قريش. While the clan of Ali, that is بن هاشم, is among the strongest clans of Quraysh. فلو أراد علي الخلافة لما كان قتال. So if Ali really wanted to be a caliph, no fight would take place. لكن الحقيقة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم توفي من غير أن يسمي تصريحا من يكون الخليفة بعده. The truth is, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام died without saying explicitly who would be the caliph after him. نعم حصل منه إشارات تدل على أبي بكر رضي الله عنه, أما التصريح فلا. Yes, there were certain signs from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that showed that Abu Bakr is the one who is going to become the caliph after him. But he did not say it explicitly. فلما مات النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بايع الصحابة أبا بكر. When the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام died, the companions paid allegiance to Abu Bakr. فصار هو الخليفة. So he became the caliph. أبو بكر قبل موته قال الخليفة بعد عمر. أبو بكر before he died, at the end of his life, while he was dying, he said, the caliph after me would be Umar. فلذلك بايع المسلمون بعده عمر. This is why the Muslims paid allegiance to Umar after him. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لم يسمي تصريحا, أما أبو بكر سمى. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did not name the one who would succeed him. As for Abu Bakr, he did. He named سيدنا عمر. لما طعن عمر, when عمر was killed, حضرته الوفاة, and he knew that he is going to die, قال إن أسمي فقد سمى من هو خير مني, يعني بذلك أبا بكر, وإن أترك التسمية فقد تركها من هو خير مني, يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. بعض الصحابة قال لما قال هذا عرفت أنه لن يسمي لأنه لن يعدل برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحدا. Our master Umar said, when he knew he was dying, he said, if I name someone to succeed me, this was done by someone who was better than me. He meant Abu Bakr. And if I do not do that, this was done also by someone who was better than me. And he meant the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. One of the companions said, when I heard him saying that, I knew he is not going to name a specific person, because he is not going to leave out following what the Prophet did. وهكذا كان. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام سمى 10. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يعني سمى عمر 6، قال مات رسول الله وهو عنهم راض فاختاروا من بينهم. عمر said, he named 6 people and he said the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام died while he was pleased with them. So choose one among these 6 people. من هؤلاء الستة عثمان رضي الله عنه. Among these 6 people was Uthman. And he was chosen. فاختير ليكون الخليفة. بعد موت عثمان رضي الله عنه بعدما قتل بايع المهاجرون والأنصار عليا رضي الله عنه فصار هو الخليفة. After Uthman was killed, المهاجرون and الأنصار paid allegiance to Ali, so he became the caliph. هؤلاء الأربعة كانوا متحابين فيما بينهم، ما كان بينهم عداوة. These 4 caliphs loved each other. They did not have enmity amongst themselves. سيدنا علي كان عنده بنت من السيدة فاطمة يقال لها أم كلثوم. بعدما تولى عمر الخلافة أراد عمر الزواج منها، قال لعلي تزوجني بنتك، لأن عمر أراد أن يتزوج من أهل بيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لهذا قال لعلي تزوجني بنتك. عمر كان في ذلك الوقت فوق 50 عمره، وأم كلثوم كانت في سن 9. علي قال إذا أعجبتك أزوجك إياها، انظر إذا أعجبتك أزوجك إياها. قال لبنته اذهبي إلى عمر قولي له هل أعجبتك الحلة؟ الحلة الثوب في لغة العرب ويطلق على المرأة أيضا مجازا. هي ذهبت قالت لعمر يقول لك أبي هل أعجبتك الحلة؟ قال قولي نعم. هي ظنت ما عرفت أن الكلام عنها، فزوجه علي إياها. During the caliphate of Umar رضي الله عنه, his age was more than 50, between 50 and 60. Ali had a daughter from Sayyida Fatima. Her name was Kulthum. She was 9 years old. Umar wanted to marry Kulthum because he wanted to marry a woman from Ahlul Bayt, from the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. So he told Ali, do you give me your daughter in marriage? Ali told him, if you like her. So he told her, go to Umar and ask him, أعجبتك الحلة, which means, did you like الحلة? الحلة in the Arabic language means the dress. But it can also mean the woman. So she went to him and she said, my father tells you, did you like al-hulla? And she was talking about herself. She didn't know. She thought they were talking about a dress. So he told her, yes, tell your father, yes. So Ali gave her to him in marriage. لو كان علي بينه وبين عمر عداوة يزوجه بنته من السيدة فاطمة أخت الحسن والحسين، يزوجه شقيقة الحسن والحسين من السيدة فاطمة وهي في سن 9 وهو بين 50 و60. لا، هذا بن أني أنمتي between عمر and علي. علي would have not given his daughter in marriage to عمر while عمر was at that age. She was at that age and she is the daughter of Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He would never do that. لكن كان بينهم محبة أكيدة. Between them there was real love for the sake of Allah تبارك وتعالى. وربما يعجب بعض الناس من تزوج البنت في هذه السن. في ذلك الوقت العرب البنت في ذلك السن يكون عندها فهم كثير، ليس ما كانوا يربون بناتهم كما تربى بنات اليوم. Maybe someone would feel surprised for Ali to give his daughter in marriage while she was 9 years old. At that time, the Arabs raised their children in a different way. Not like people raise their children mostly nowadays. وهي أم كلثوم كانت ذات فهم. And أم كلثوم especially, she was a smart person, a sharp person. لما قاد زيد بن حارثة قصدي أسامة بن زيد الجيش، كم كان سنه؟ 17 سنة قاد الجيش. في هذه الأيام 17 سنة يقولون عنه ولد صغير. When أسامة ابن زيد, the son of Zayd, led the army, he was 17 years old. Nowadays, someone who is 17 years old, they say about him, what do they say? Yeah, he's a kid. Yeah, this is what they say, he's a kid. Do they let him vote? No. Yeah. And, yeah. Hey. So, على كل حال فنحن لا نتجاوز الحد. ثم علي كان عنده ولد سماه أبا بكر وولد سماه عمر واثنان سمى كل منهما عثمان. كان عنده عثمان الأكبر وعثمان الأصغر. Moreover, Ali had a child that he named Abu Bakr, another child that he named Umar, and two other children that each one of them was named Uthman. فنحن نحب أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لكن لا نفرط في محبة أحد منهم. So we love the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام but we do not exceed the boundaries, the religious boundaries in loving any one of them. ولا نتبرأ من أحد منهم and we do not disown ourselves. And we do not disown ourselves from anyone of them. لا نقول عن واحد منهم هذا ليس من الصحابة. We do not say about one of them, this is not among the companions. لا ننزل أحدا منهم عن رتبته ولا ننفعه فوق رتبته. We do not give any one of them a status less than his, and we do not give him any status which is over his status. ونبغض من يبغضهم الذي يبغض كل الصحابة كافر فمن أبغضهم نحن نبغضه. The one who hates all the companions is a blasphemer. So anyone who hates them, we hate him. Anyone who hates the companions, we hate him. ونبغض من يبغضهم وبغير الخير يذكرهم. If anyone despises all of them, we hate such a person. لأن الذي يذمهم كلهم معناه يقول ما يوجد طريق لمعرفة الدين. معناه يقول هذا الدين الذي نقل إلينا لا يوجد ثقة بنقله. The one who despises all the companions as if he is saying there is no way for you to be sure about the rules of the religion. These rules that were transmitted to us by the companions, you cannot be sure about them. There is no trustworthy no trustworthy way for you to know about the rules of the religion. So really, the one who says that would be trying to destroy the religion. So anyone who says that, we hate him for sure. وَلَا نَذْكُرُهُمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ. We do not mention them in general, or all of them, except with what is good. وَحُبُّهُمْ دِينٌ وَإِيمَانٌ وَإِحْسَانٌ. Loving them, that is all of them, this is what the religion orders us to do. This is a good deed. وَبُغْضُهُمْ كَمَا قُلْنَا كُفْرٌ وَنِفَاقٌ وَطُغْيَانٌ. Hating all of them is blasphemy, hypocrisy, and going beyond the proper religious boundaries. هذا من حيث الإجمال. This is in general. لكن لا ينافي هذا ما رواه أهل الحديث عن حصول مخالفات من بعض منهم, مخالفات من بعضهم للشريعة. This is said, this does not contradict what the scholars of hadith narrated from some of the companions, that they did certain deeds that they did certain sins, certain issues of disobedience. لأننا أهل السنة نقول المعصوم هو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما الصحابة فليسوا معصومين. Because we the أهل السنة say the one who is infallible is the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, and not the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَإِذَا قُلْنَا إن واحدا منهم غل، يعني أخذ من الغنيمة ما لا يحل له، أو إن واحدا منهم شرب الخمر وأقيم عليه الحد، أو إن واحدا منهم زنى، لا نكون بذلك مناقضين لما قاله أبو جعفر. So if we say that one among them committed a zina, or one among them took from the spoils what he was not entitled to take, or that one of them one of them drank alcohol, or one of them committed stealing, by this we would not be contradicting what Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi said. لأن الطحاوي قال من حيث الإجمال لا نذكرهم إلا بخير، لا نذكرهم إلا بخير يعني من حيث الإجمال. When Abu Ja'far said we do not say mention about them except good things, he was talking in general. وإلا فالبخاري روى عن بعضهم مثل هذه الأمور. البخاري in his book الصحيح narrated some of these matters from about some of them. ومسلم كذلك likewise مسلم وغيرهما and other than البخاري and مسلم. ولذلك لا يكون ذما للصحابة أن يقال إن عليا كان محقا في قتاله لمن قاتله بعد توليه الخلافة، وأن من قاتل عليا عاص وباغ. So it wouldn't be dispraising the companions to say that Ali was right in fighting those whom he fought after he became a caliph, and that those who fought against him committed a sin by that. This would not be despising the companions. لأن هؤلاء قلة من الصحابة. Because those who did that are very few companions. وكانوا على باطل. And they were not right. They were committing a sin. معاوية ومن كان معه ما كانوا على حق بل كانوا بغاة. معاوية and those who were with him were not truthful. يعني they were not on the proper path. They were sinners. They committed a sin. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بيّن ذلك قبل موته. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام talked about that before he died. قال ويح عمار تقتله الفئة الباغية يدعوهم إلى الجنة ويدعونه إلى النار. Once he saw Ammar ibn Yasir, a great companion, and he said ويح عمار. This is ويح in Arabic, a statement to mention that he is a fortunate person. So he said ويح عمار. Then he continued to say تقتله الفئة الباغية, which means the unjust party, the party who unjustly disobeys the caliph will kill him. He invites them to paradise and they invite him to hellfire. بعد ذلك عمار قتل في المعركة بين علي ومعاوية في معركة صفين. Later, Ammar was killed in the Battle of Siffin that took place between Ali and Muawiyah. وَكَانَ فِي جَيْشِ عَلِي And he was fighting with Ali against Muawiyah. فَهَذَا نَصٌ مِّن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى أَنَّ عَلِيًّا وَمَنْ مَعَهُ عَلَى حَقٍ وَأَنَّ مُعَاوِيَةَ وَمَنْ مَعَهُ عَلَى بَاطِلٍ بُغَاتٍ This is an explicit statement from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that Ali and those who fought with him were on the right path and that Muawiyah and those who were fighting with him against Ali were wrong and sinful. فَلَا يَجُوزُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَقُولَ قَائِلٌ إِنَّ عَلِيًّا اجْتَهَدْ وَمُعَاوِيَ اجْتَهَدْ وَأَنَّ اجْتِهَادَ عَلِي لَهُ فِيهِ أَجْرًا وَاجْتِهَادْ مُعَاوِيَ لَهُ فِيهِ أَجْرًا So it is not permissible after this explicit hadith to say that Ali made a lawful ijtihad and Muawiyah made a lawful ijtihad. Even some people say, Ali has reward and Muawiyah has reward. But I don't know how do they say that. Al-ijtihad la yakunu fi mawrid an-nas ma warada fihi nas la ahad yajtahid fihi innama yutba'u fihi an-nas ma warada fihi ayatun aw hadith al-ijtihad la yakunu fi mawrid an-nas A mujtahid is not entitled, it is not permissible for him to make ijtihad about a matter which its judgment is mentioned explicitly in Al-Quran or the Hadith. He is not entitled to do that. And this matter is mentioned explicitly in the Quran and the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no one was entitled to make ijtihad and fight Ali. Such ijtihad was a wrong one and an unlawful one, a prohibited one, a sinful one. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala amara fi al-Qur'an biqital al-ta'ifati allati takhruju 'ala al-imam 'ala al-khalifati al-'adil. Kayfa ba'da dhalik yuqal in khuruj Muawiyah 'ala 'Ali bi-ijtihad? Allah أمر الخليفة العادل في القرآن إذا خرجت عليه طائفة ولم ترجع إلى الحق أن يقاتلهم لردهم إلى الحق إلى الطاعة كيف يكون بعد ذلك قتال معاوية لعلي باجتهاد لا يقبل In the Quran Allah ordered the righteous caliph to fight any group who disobey him That is, who do not recognize his authority. Allah ordered him in Al-Quran to fight them, to bring them to the obedience of the caliph. And thus, those who fought Ali, Ali was ordered by Al-Quran to fight them. Which ijtihad are they talking about then? There is no room for al-ijtihad here. On top, فوق هذا, حديث ويحى عمار نص أيضا. On top of that, the hadith of Al-Bukhari about Ammar is an explicit text about this issue. وَمُعَاوِيَ كَانَ يَعْرِفُهُ الصَّحَابَةُ كَانَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثُ مَعْرُوفًا عِنْدَهُمْ. This hadith was known among the companions. Muawiyah himself knew this hadith. واحد من الصحابة لما نشبت المعركة انتظر أول نشوب المعركة اعتزل الفريقين. ما أقول كان يجوز كان له ذلك أو أصاب، لكن هذا الذي فعله. ثم بعد ذلك ينتظر ماذا يحصل مع عمار، يبقى عمار في جيش علي أو ينتقل إلى معاوية أو أيش، ماذا يكون؟ لما قتل عمار اغتسل ثم قاتل مع علي حتى قتل. لماذا؟ لأنه يعرف حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ويح عمار تقتله الفئة الباغية. One of the companions, he did not fight at the beginning of the fight. He was waiting, checking the situation of Ammar. When Ammar was killed, he took a ghusl, a bath, and then he joined the fight with Ali until he was killed in the battle. Why? Because he heard the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام saying that statement that Ammar is going to be killed by the unjust group. لما قتل عمار واحد من جماعة معاوية قال لمعاوية: قتل عمار، نحن قتلناه، والنبي قال: ويح عمار تقتله الفئة الباغية. When Ammar was killed, one among the army of Muawiyah came to him and told him, Ammar is killed, and the Prophet said that the unjust group kills Ammar. We killed him. فقال له معاوية أمام الناس كلمه, in front of the people. Muawiyah told him, قال ونحن قتلناه إنما قتله من أخرجه. He went around the hadith. He said, are we the ones who killed him? We didn't kill him. The one who killed him is the one who made him come to the battle. That is, Ali killed him. Ali told, when he heard that, Ali told him, he sent him a message. So according to your statement, the Prophet killed Hamza, his uncle Hamza. Ali قال له إذن على زعمك النبي قتل حمزة لأنه هو الذي أخرجه, because the Prophet ordered Hamza to go to the battle. ذكر مثل هذه المسألة ما فيها حرج. Mentioning such a matter is permissible. There is nothing wrong about it. لأنه منها يعرف حكم شرعي, because from it a religious judgment is well established and well known. لو قيل معاوية مجتهد اجتهد فأخطأ, إذن كل واحد يجوز عند ذلك أن يجتهد ويخرج على الإمام فيقاتله, وأين يصير حال المسلمين بعد ذلك؟ If someone says معاوية made اجتهاد, he was wrong in his اجتهاد but he was rewarded for it, then everyone would make ijtihad according to him and fight the righteous caliph with no sin on his part. Well, after that, the Muslims will be in chaos. لو لم يكن الشرع أمر عليا بالقتال ما كان علي يسفك دم مسلم واحد. Hadn't been the case that Ali was ordered by the rules of the religion to fight, Ali would have not caused for one Muslim to be killed. For a drop of blood from a Muslim to be shed. لما قتل علي لما ضربه الذي قتله ما مات فورا وهو في تلك الحال قال لولده انظر لا تخض في الدماء تقول قتل أمير المؤمنين قتل أمير المؤمنين إذا أنا مت فإياك أن فلا تقتل إلا قاتلي إياك أن تقتل غيره من جماعته يعني لا تقتل إلا قاتلي وإن أعيش أرى رأيي أما إذا أنا لم أمت أنا عند ذلك أرى رأيي أعفو عنه أقتله أنا أرى رأيي. انظروا حرصه على تطبيق شرع الله في تلك الحال رضي الله عنه. When Ali was hit by the man who killed him, he was in a severe situation. He was dying, actually. He told his son, listen, don't ever, if I die from this, don't ever kill anyone other than the one who killed me. That is according, go according to the rules of the religion. Only the one who killed me would be killed. That is, don't kill anyone of his group. Just him. He is the one who killed me. Then kill him. And he continued to say, يعني apply the rule just to him. He continued to say, and if I live, I will check what I will do. Because if I live, I will see. If I kill him, I don't kill him, I will see. Even in that situation, he was so cautious, so keen to guide the people to adhere to the rules of the religion. رضي الله عنه. نقف هنا الآن. Let us stop here for now. والله أعلم. الله knows best. أحد عنده سؤال؟ Do you have any questions? نجيله حيجي معنا إن شاء الله. وبك. تفضل. Why what? Al-Imam Ali? I don't know. For some reason, the Muslims, they got used to say Al-Imam Ali. You can say Al-Imam Abu Bakr, Al-Imam Umar, Al-Imam Uthman, but I don't know why. This is how the Muslims are used to call Ali, Al-Imam Ali. Also, Karram Allah wajhahu. Why? I don't know. You can say, كَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَجَهُ about Umar, about Abu Bakr, about Uthman. But people usually say that about Ali. I don't know why. Some people say because Ali never was on a state of blasphemy. So he never prostrated to an idol. Because he embraced Islam while he was a child. Well, but this is correct about him. But some other companions, they have the same status. Abdullah ibn Zubayr never did that. Allah a'lam why. We don't know why. It's the habit of the Muslims to do that. تفضل. Which hadith? If someone says, I do not believe in all the hadith narrated from the Prophet, yeah, of course. How do we know what the Prophet said except through the companions? Of course, this is kufr. How do we know that we start our salah with Allahu Akbar and we end it with Assalamu Alaikum? And how many rak'ahs in the Zuhr prayer, the Asr prayer, the Maghrib prayer? How do we pay as zakah? How these people, they want to destroy the religion by saying that. Practically, now. أولئك قتلهم علي لكن أمثالهم موجود موجود.
ليلة الإسراء خرق العادة كان بأن الأنبياء الذين صلوا وراء النبي كانوا أمواتا ثم أحياهم الله هذا هو خرق العادة.
هم أحيوا في قبورهم.
في قبورهم
كانوا أحياء في قبورهم لكن اجتماعهم في بيت المقدس وحياتهم في قبورهم هذا ليس شيئا معتادا.
إن بعض الجمهور يقولون أن عيسى هو وحده الصحابي لأنه ما مات ولقي النبي في حياته.
ما يعني أنا لو كنت مكانك لا أقول بعض الجهال لأنه تعريف الصحابي هذا تعريف الجمهور وبعض العلماء لهم تعريف آخر. بعض العلماء لهم تعريف للصحابي. طيب نهلل. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيك.